It's being described as the largest child welfare operation in Texas history. More than 400 children are now in state custody after a raid on a polygamist sect in rural Texas. The raid was prompted by a phone call from a 16-year-old girl who said she was abused and that girls as young as 14 were being forced into marriages to men a lot older. We're joined now by Daryl Azar with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So more than 400 children, where are they now?
All the children right now are in various shelters in the downtown San Angelo area. We opened another shelter yesterday afternoon because we needed more space so we could better care for the needs of these children.
Is the 16-year-old girl who made the phone call in the first place that prompted the raid, is she among those children that you have now?
We have not been able to confirm that at this time, but there are a number of girls who generally fit that description. And I think it's reasonable to assume that all these children, they're out of their element. They don't know what's going to happen. They're staying within themselves at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take some time to sort that out and to gain the trust and get them to open up and start talking to us honestly about what's going on in their lives.
Court documents released yesterday said that some of the girls were pregnant.
In the course of our investigation, we observed and talked to a number of young teenagers who were pregnant and some other teenagers who had already given birth to children. Based on that and other observations about the other children, we came to the conclusion that there was a widespread practice of young girls who were being conditioned at a very young age to accept becoming the spiritual wives of much older men and to have sex with them.
Middle-aged men.
Yes.
In some cases.
Mature men.
So these girls have been isolated for all of their lives. Oftentimes their mothers and grandmothers also isolated from mainstream society. How do you care for girls who have had no contact with the outside world?
Well, there are some communications barriers and there are some cultural barriers, obviously. And it's going to take quite a bit of time to do that. No one believes this is going to be a quick process. We have to, first of all, understand them, and then second of all, gain their trust so that they will tell us what's happening, because what has been happening to them may not seem out of the ordinary. They may not recognize that that is not acceptable behavior in our society.
So is the goal to place these girls with foster families?
Well, right now we're still exploring the options of exactly how we'll place them. When children enter foster care, we don't talk about the types of placements they have, who they're going to live with, because their lives are confidential once they enter foster care. And the only thing that's really public is what has to be discussed in court in order to further the legal process.
Well, who has legal custody over these children?
The state of Texas does, and my agency specifically, the Department of Family and Protective Services. They're in our legal custody. As long as the judge believes that that is the status that's in the best interest of each child.
So you could decide, or the judge could decide, to reunite the children with their mothers.
Everything is possible at this point. The only thing that has occurred is that we are temporarily taking custody of them because that's the only way we could assure their safety, considering the conditions they were living in. Some children, we are certain, were abused, and other children were at grave risk of abuse in the future. And when that happens under Texas law, we have to remove them if we can't mitigate that. So at this point, we've placed them in foster care, and we will continue our investigation. Once we determine as much information as we can, we will try to see what would be the best place for these children to go. We will likely ask the parents or suspected parents to submit to DNA testing, to provide us with identifying documents. But at this point, we don't really know exactly who all these children are. Many of them have the same names or very similar names. Their names change. There are no identifying documents, no identification cards, no birth certificates at our disposal. So it's going to take quite some time to sort this all out.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Daryl Azar is with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services.